Log Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello, thank you for listening to Smoke News Radio, episode number 69. Right here, we are broadcasting through Blog Talk Radio and also Instagram. First, what we have here from ABC7 News. Effective date delayed for California's flavored tobacco ban. Written by Don Thompson. Read to you by Jason Brodsky. In Sacramento, California, state officials have agreed to delay the effective date of what state lawmakers intend as a January 1st ban on flavored tobacco products, after opponents led by tobacco companies said they filed enough signatures. It did not quite hold on, apparently, onto the blog talk, so we will reconnect that right away. Okay. Yay! What are you guys doing? What's going on here, people? Okay, please connect. Yay! Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio. Everything plugged in and working. And as Google Hangouts transitions to Google Voice, I'm running in with a few difficulties. So let's see if I could fix this here. All right. That seems to be working there. Come on, computer. Do what you're supposed to do, Mr. Telephone. That, or I have to hang up on Instagram. Let's try this one more time. Mr. Google Voice at the helm, call CCHI 2016 radio host, California Cannabis Hemp Initiative. Not quite working. I thank you, Instagram people. No one watches live anyhow to this stuff. All right, and as we're going to move on, let's make the call in directly for any live listeners that may be out there. One moment, please. Dun, 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 dun.
To call this number, please add the select shared calling service. To do so, please dial 611 from your handset.
Very interesting. Okay, do, 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 do. Do, 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 do.
Talk Radio.
All right, here
Welcome
we go.
Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Dooby 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 doo. Dooby 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 doo. There we go. Fantastic. Welcome back, my live listeners out there. Apologize for the phone going down, as that does happen on many a podcast, so I hope I wasn't removed from any re-repeaters out there in my imaginary thought that this is actually getting out to people. So let's continue. Effective date delayed for California's flavored tobacco ban by Don Thompson. Sacramento, California. California state officials have agreed to delay the effective date of what state lawmakers intended as a January 1st ban on flavored tobacco products, after opponents led by tobacco companies said they filed enough signatures to put the new law to a statewide vote. The Secretary of State and Attorney General's offices won't enforce the pending law until county clerks have enough time to verify that there are at least 623,000 valid signatures. Inyo County's top elections official, Kemi Foote, said this week she was referring to the petition there to the county district attorney because her office found a high level of signatures that do not match county records in California. Supporters of the law said that should throw the whole signature drive into question. The main group opposing the law, the California Coalition for Fairness, said in a statement that it takes the allegations seriously, but turned in more than 1 million signatures, far more than enough to qualify the ballot. What supporters called one of the nation's strongest laws would not make it a crime for people to possess tobacco-flavored tobacco products, but bans retailers from selling them. Violators would face a $250 fine. If enough signatures are valid, the measure will go before voters in the next statewide election or special statewide election, likely in November 2022. If not, the law will take effect when the Secretary of State certifies that the signature drive fell short. The California Coalition for Fairness said it expects the referendum to be through the verification process by the end of January. The group, backed by R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company and Philip Morris USA, said the ban would harm thousands of retail businesses during what already is a bad economic period due to the coronavirus pandemic. Quoted, more than 1 million California voters signed the petition to place the measure on the ballot, and this stipulation honors their rights. Jim Knox of the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network said it makes sense not to have retailers banned from flavored tobacco sales starting January 1st, only to have the products at least temporarily legal again if the referendum qualifies. Quotes, nonetheless, it's a victory for the tobacco industry. They have thrown the implementation of this important health measure into chaos. They've attempted to subvert the will of the legislature and at the very least prolong the time the tobacco industry has to inflict addiction and death on our young people and communities of color, quotes Jim Knox of the American Cancer Society. The Secretary of State, Alex Padilla, notified county officials that they should start verifying the signatures on December 7th in a court filing 2 days later. He and the Attorney General, Xavier Becerra, agreed to delay the law's effective date. The pending law does not ban all flavored tobacco products. The bill would exempt loose-leaf tobacco, premium cigars, shisha tobacco used in hookah, a type of water pipe. Premium cigars are defined as any that are not mass-produced by a machine, have wrappers made entirely from whole tobacco leaf, and cost at least $12. It also does not ban the sale of flavored marijuana products. But proponents, including doctors and groups fighting cancer, lung and heart, dental disease, applauded the measure's ban on flavors, including Minty Menthol, as part of an effort to discourage marketing, they said, appealed to youth and particularly those in low income and Black and Latino communities. Hope that was fun. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, we've got from Benzinga.com by Natan Ponyaman and Javier Hase, the benefits of using hemp in the construction and textile industries. Ever since the cannabis legalization process began to gain global momentum, much has been said about its medicinal and therapeutic potential, as well as the huge market that awaits the behind the doors of adult use regulation. However, the cannabis plant has even greater potential, of which today we're seeing but the tip of the iceberg. Hemp is a subspecies of the cannabis plant. It lacks most of the marijuana's psychoactive effects, but can be used as raw material for several industries, such as textile and construction. In fact, industrial sales are expected to triple in the next 7 years, rising from $4.71 billion in 2019 to $15.26 billion Americano in 2027. Steve DeAngelo, one of the most recognized cannabis activists of the last decades, says that hemp has the ability to replace virtually any petroleum product. Quoted, hemp can be grown without pesticides, captures 22 tons of atmospheric carbon per hectare. It is a powerful phytoremediator that extracts industrial poisons from contaminated soil, and likewise, it is a powerful tool to control erosion and remedy unproductive or marginally productive lands. DeAngelo adds, we are only now harnessing the industrial hemp plant's potential as a rotating crop with regenerative agriculture qualities. Hemp has been around for a long time, from Rembrandt's canvases to the sails in Columbus's caravels. Now, the textile industry is strongly experiencing hemp disruption, especially as a replacement for cotton. The material can be processed to be lightweight, soft, breathable, and durable, replacing most cotton applications in the textile industry. Considering that cotton represents 43% of all fibers used for clothing and textiles worldwide, hemp has huge possibilities ahead. For instance, iconic jeans company Levi's recently announced a pilot project to replace 27% of its denim cotton with hemp as a part of an overall sustainability push. Cotton requires much more water, pesticides, and soil to be grown than hemp. It is also estimated that cotton accounts for 10% of pesticide use and 25% of insecticides globally, while hemp, due to its resilience, requires very few chemicals to grow. To be precise, 1 hectare of hemp can produce 3 times more clothing than 1 hectare of cotton. This is because the industrial use fibers are extracted from the stem of the hemp plant, which is thin and grows tall, allowing growers to have about 15 plants per square meter. Numerous luxury hotel chains have also joined the hemp frenzy, and hemp fashion brands have partnered with influencers like Bella Thorne to future spread their vision. Patagonia, the premium mountain clothing brand, launched a line of garments made of hemp as part of its sustainable efforts, as well construction and plastics. Hempcrete, concrete made with hemp and lime, is lighter and more resistant to fire, mold, and moisture than regular sand concrete. It can be made as strong as ordinary concrete and captures atmospheric carbon as it dries. Furthermore, it can be used without structural purposes as a thermal and acoustic insulator. Hemp is not only useful, it is strong. Its fibers are stronger than steel, says Bruce Linton, co-founder and former CEO of Canadian cannabis giant Canopy. The executive recently created Collective Growth, a blank check company that raised $150 million in less than 2 months and debuted on NASDAQ in May with the goal of creating a global industrial empire. BMW also uses plastics in several of its electric car models, including the i3 and i8 BMW models, but they are not pioneers. In 1941, the Henry Ford presented a car model whose body was built entirely from hemp bioplastic and ran on cannabis biofuel. Hemp bioplastic has endless uses, including bags, boxes. Unlike synthetic plastics, it is produced from renewable, biodegradable materials, packaging industrial giants such as Sonoco Products, Constenia Flexibles, Oberk, Kluckner Petaplast, and MG America have declared their interest in the material. In the 1930s, Henry Ford, who had a whole facility destined to extract biodiesel from hemp biomass. Biofuel made from pressed hemp seed can be used in any conventional diesel engine. Using this method of hemp can produce approximately 780 liters of oil per hectare, about 4 times more than soybeans. In addition, the rest of the hemp biomass can be used to produce ethanol, a key alcohol in the creation of biofuels, which is traditionally extracted from corn or sugar cane. A 2010 study from the University of Connecticut showed that hemp oil has a 97% conversion rate to diesel. Although it takes approximately 50% more biofuel to generate the same energy as that produced by petroleum, hemp fuel is a renewable alternative and doesn't harm the environment. Thus, With the development of large-scale production chain, the costs of hemp biofuel production will definitely exceed those of oil. However, the latter's availability inevitably tends to be scarce. All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Smoke News Radio. I try to add a word here and there, hopefully to help with the definition with cement. They're like, this kind of cement, that kind of cement. And then they're like, just generals. Like, they need to. It's like, what kind of cement? Sand cement, rocks and sand and such. So little things. I try not to change much anything that comes through on here. To those that are all finicky, wanting to like make stuff exact, they can eat themselves and go away. But if you want to listen to some news that comes out of me as it comes out of me, then this is Smoke News Radio, not freaking computer reading radio. You can go have Aria read you everything. She does an okay job. I'll give you that. But she ain't funny. She ain't going to throw no silly voices on the silly people that talk. I'll give you that. So continue on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky from thegrowop.com. Cyprus police create their own fireworks, discovering 335 kilograms of weed and sparklers. The van that had been tracked from a nearby warehouse was stopped after receiving information about drug and sparkler trafficking. Four men appeared in Limassol County District Court in Cyprus on December 19th for a remand hearing after police seized 35 kilograms of cannabis and part of a 300 kilogram haul of sparklers and fireworks from a van stopped shortly before noon on December 18th. Two men, one 43 and the other 34, were issued 8-day detention orders, while two other men, 35 and 38, were ordered to spend 5 days in detention, according to a translated press release from the Cyprus police. In an operation coordinated by the drug squad of the YKAN, the Limassol District Committee, the van had been tracked from a nearby warehouse and it was stopped after receiving information. Specifically, 35 kilograms of marijuana and approximately 200 kilograms of sparklers and fireworks were found inside the vehicle and confiscated by police. One suspect tried to escape in his vehicle, but police pursued him with shots fired at the vehicle tires in a bid to disable the vehicle. Quoted, "We managed to catch him in the Palomita Reservoir area," says Drug Squad Commander Michaelis Konstantinos, confirmed to reporters on December 18th, according to Cyprus Mail. The subsequent search of a number of units in the Limassol warehouse said to be owned by one of the suspects revealed about 100 kilograms more of sparklers and fireworks. Quoted by the police, "We planned the operation for some time. Certain people and premises were under police surveillance in an attempt to determine whether the information was accurate," quotes Konstantinos through the Cyprus Mail. Arrests were made after their cargo had been loaded into the van, with police tracking and then intercepting the vehicle, the commander said. A subsequent search of the units, cut and paste, medical cannabis rules were approved. Wait, hold on. Oh, sorry. The YCAN investigation is continuing. We intend to conduct an investigation into their finances in relation to the large quantities of drugs and fireworks found in their possession, says Katsanotos. Katsanotos? I hope I pronounced his name right. Medical cannabis rules were approved last year, but recreational weed is illegal. Released by the European Monitoring Center for Drugs and Drug Addiction, the Cypress County Drug Report 2019 notes that possession for personal use is regarded as a serious criminal offense, punishable by up to 12 years in prison for Class A drugs, 8 years for Class B, and 4 for Class C. However, first-time offenders age 25 and under are not given sentences of more than 1 year. Cannabis is listed as a Class B drug. As for drug supply in Cyprus, it is punished by up to life imprisonment and or a fine. For Class A and Class B drugs, up to 8 years imprisonment and or a fine. Class C drugs, the center has pointed out. All right. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host Jason Brodsky from TextileWorld.com, we've got a reintroduction to one of the original textile inputs. Oh my God, this one's huge. Okay, I gotta start doing a history show, people. Here's a marijuana history show in the news. And here's a, sorry, that was like a 10-minute article. I'm halfway through. I only get 6 10-minute articles or like 12 5-minute articles. So, okay, here's a 5-1. From NewJersey.com, don't count on marijuana taxes as big cash source for New Jersey budget, new study says, written by Jonathan Salant. The United States House voted to expand research to medicinal purposes of marijuana like this plant. Okay, there's no content. Okay, sorry, sometimes that's a picture. We're going. While New Jersey revenues are down due to the coronavirus-induced economic downturn, state officials should count on taxes from legal recreational marijuana to make up the gap, according to a new study. The report by Pew Charitable Trust said the amount of weed revenue is too unpredictable and could vary from year to year based on a number of different trends. Quoted, what we emphasize is that the revenues are pretty unpredictable, said the report's co-author, Alex Zhang, a research officer with Pew's State Fiscal Health Project. If the intention of policymakers is to use it for ongoing programs, they need to be cautious about relying on it too heavily. New Jersey voters last month approved a constitutional amendment to legalize marijuana for recreational use. The legalization to enable marijuana sales and decriminalize weed is expected to pass the state legislature next week. 14 other states and the District of Columbia have legalized cannabis for recreational use. State marijuana taxes eventually could bring in as much as $450 million according to estimates by Governor Phil Murphy's administration. But there are no assurances. Quotes, it's so far has a track record of bringing in revenue, but in the long term, we just don't know how it's going to perform, Zeng said. Quotes, it's highly dependent on consumer preference and consumer whims. Unlike tobacco and alcohol sales, there is not a lot of data on marijuana revenue in states that have legalized the drug, Zeng said. Policymakers can hedge against the uncertainty and volatility of marijuana revenue by budgeting it cautiously, the report said. They can put the money towards savings, for example, or spend it after it is collected. If states are considering using the funds for ongoing spending priorities that require sustainable revenue streams, they should be careful by relying too heavily on marijuana taxes. That's what New Jersey plans to do. None of the marijuana revenues are earmarked for the state's general fund under the legislation authorizing New Jersey's legal recreational cannabis program. Municipalities, though, could impose their own 2% tax and spend the revenues as they wish. On a state level, the measure allocates 70% of the state sales tax revenue and all the revenue from an excise tax on marijuana growers to help minority communities hard hit by the war on drugs. The other 30% of sales tax revenue would fund police department programs to train drug recognition experts and for the upcoming Cannabis Regulatory Commission. One variable affecting how much revenue states will receive will be if there is any marijuana tourism, where visitors come to a state primarily to partake of legal weed. And there is no data to predict how much revenue marijuana sales will bring in during an economic downturn, Zeng says. There's also the sweet spot in levying cannabis taxes. The higher the taxes, the more revenue you will bring in, but it may make the legal market less competitive with the black market, Zeng says. When states raised cigarette taxes, for example, they had the effect of reducing tobacco consumption and lowering revenues. And while New Jersey is ahead of its neighbors in legalizing cannabis for recreational use, the state also had a monopoly on casino gambling, but lost that as New York, Pennsylvania, and Delaware all opened casinos, hurting Atlantic City to the point where several gaming halls shut down. New Jersey's so-called sin taxes, alcohol, tobacco, and gambling accounted for 4.8% of the state's revenue in 2015, 21st among the 50 states, according to Pew. Jonathan D. Salant may be reached at, you look it up online. Okay, here we go. Next from Smoke News Radio. All right. Thank you for listening. Your host, Jason Brodsky. And what's a good one here? From the WBRZ.com Action Karate News comes Louisiana opens application period for 2021 hemp licenses from the Associated Press. Baton Rouge, Louisiana's Agriculture Department is accepting applications for its 2021 industrial hemp licenses, the second year of the program created by lawmakers to try to start a new agricultural industry in the state. A state license is required for any person growing, handling, transporting, or processing hemp or hemp seed in Louisiana. Applicants must pass a criminal background check. No one convicted of a felony within the last 10 years or a drug-related misdemeanor in the last 2 years is eligible. Hemp is a member of the cannabis plant family, but contains only traces of the THC compound that causes a high for marijuana users. Louisiana currently has more than 160 active hemp licenses, according to the Department of Agriculture and Forestry. The regulatory requirements are lengthy, and the oversight of growing operations is intense. State officials want to encourage production of hemp to help farmers diversify their crops while ensuring none of the operations cross over into marijuana growth. Louisiana's hemp legislation came after Congress's 2018 Farm Bill removed the crop from the list of federally controlled substances, giving states an opportunity to develop a hemp growing program. Growing demand for cannabidiol, or CBD, the non-psychoactive component in the cannabis plant, often extracted from hemp, has helped drive interest in hemp, but the crop also can be used for textiles, fuels, clothing, body lotion, paper, rope, and chemical absorbents, among other products. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. From the KOB.com, New Mexico University to offer industrial hemp certificate. From the Associated Press, Las Vegas, New Mexico. Regents at the New Mexico Highlands University have approved a new program that will offer students a certificate in industrial hemp entrepreneurship. The approval came earlier this month, but school officials say the program must still go through any required state and accreditor reviews. The Higher Learning Commission must also sign off. The industrial hemp production was legalized in New Mexico in 2019, and federal officials just recently approved the State Department of Agriculture's hemp production regulatory plan that allows the state to continue regulatory oversight over hemp production within its borders. Growers and state officials say New Mexico has advantages over other states due to optimal growing conditions and an abundance of relatively cheap land. Highland's business professor, Heath Anderson, goes on to say, "We believe that industrial hemp is a growth industry that can benefit the economic development of northeastern New Mexico. The most important goal of the new certificate program is to prepare students with the professional skills needed to be successful in the burgeoning legal hemp industry. It's an opportunity to create an offering that's very relevant in the business market." The university's program will have two tracks, one for students focused on the business of industrial hemp, and another for students interested in the science of hemp plant production. Industrial hemp can be used in many products, from textiles and bioplastics to biofuels and medicinal applications. The New Mexico Economic Development Department has predicted some 400 jobs could result from the hemp-related businesses throughout the state with help from local economic development funding. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host Jason Brodsky from, let me see if this one will, from DanvilleSanRamon.com, Contra Costa County extends industrial hemp moratorium into March, written by Sam Richards. But there have been many concerns that hemp fields can provide cover for illegal marijuana grows, although some neighbors have complained about the smell and activity connected to the hemp operations. Those concerns helped prompt the supervisors on November 17th to approve a 40-day moratorium on new hemp planting and processing that was to have expired within the new year. Representatives of two hemp operations, Terpene Belt Farms near Kingston and US 4GM near Brentwood, told the supervisors last week that extending the moratorium into October 21 would preclude a 2021 crop, with plans for planting starting in February. Pamela Epstein, the general counsel for Eden Enterprises, quotes, "The board is choosing to stymie a growth industry." A spokesman for the US 4GM told the supervisors that their operation employs 60 people whose jobs would be in danger by continuing the moratorium into October. Raising industrial hemp commercially has been legal in Costa Conta since 2018. Contra Costa, yeah. Most hemp grown in Contra Costa so far has been nursery stock sold to other cultivars out of the area. Contra Costa County has 5 growers registered, at least 4 of them active, all concentrated in East County's agricultural zone. Operations range in size from about 10 acres to almost 200 acres. Burgess on December 15th urged county staff return in February with new hemp regulations, which would allow growers to plant on time. John Kopchick, the county's conservation and development director, said meaningful legislation is not just something you can immediately crank out. But he and other officials said they will work to have such legislation for the supervisors by March 10th. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, police confiscate over 1,300 pounds of fireworks in East Palo Alto. And they got marijuana too, obviously. Written by Sue Dreeman from the PaloAltoOnline.com. A series of operations to tamp down on illegal fireworks in the East Palo Alto led to police officers to confiscate 1,304 pounds of the devices and arrest 9 people over the course of June and July. According to a report released this week, the city, as elsewhere throughout the Bay Area and the country, has struggled with the unprecedented fireworks problem since early May as people sought to relieve their boredom and community fireworks shown were canceled due to stay-at-home orders as the number of CV-19 cases grow. From the May 1st to July 5th, the department received 944 calls regarding fireworks compared to 243 calls during the same time last year, a 288% increase, according to police data. ShotSpotter activations, which measure gunfire, recorded 8 incidents this year compared to 3 last year. The fireworks seizures prevented 25,164 discharges. Police also seized 7 pounds of marijuana and 2 firearms, according to police department report. The city's fireworks task force team of 2 officers and a sergeant had support from the San Mateo County's District Attorney's Office, San Mateo County Sheriff's Office, State Division of Adult Parole Operations, San Mateo County Probation Department, and other law enforcement agencies. Issuing 6 search warrants and 2 probation searches made 1 traffic stop, altogether confiscating 704 pounds of fireworks. Okay, let's see if they... Okay, there's still marijuana coming. The later loan netted more than 110 pounds of fireworks. In addition, on July 4th, law enforcement confiscated 600 pounds of illegal fireworks on the streets. The warrants and probation searches also uncovered an M80 explosive, a handgun, and high-capacity magazines, and 5 pounds of marijuana, including marijuana edibles. 4 of the 9 people arrested were also taken in for allegedly making felony threats or assaulting officers. One of the individuals made a threat about being approached over a single already discharged president's... Okay, then it's the whole... Everybody that got busted for... You know... A lot of fireworks and marijuana seem to be traveling together, people. For the history one, cannabis use in the ancient world. This one might be really nice. Hoboken wants a higher marijuana tax. On December 16th, the Hoboken City Council, from the HudsonReporter.com, written by Marilyn Baer, read by Jason Brodsky on Smoke News Radio, voted 9-10 to adopt a resolution urging state representatives to advocate for more cannabis revenues. On December 16th, the Hoboken City Cannabis has unanimously adopted a resolution urging Governor Phil Murphy and state legislators to allow certain municipalities to generate additional tax revenue from the sale of cannabis to cover costs of public safety and welfare, social justice, and education. This comes just before lawmakers passed a historic bill that establishes rules and regulations for legal cannabis sales after New Jersey voted to legalize marijuana this past November. Okay, I want to read this other one. This other one's cooler. Let's go read a little of the history. Okay, from the canix.co.uk, cannabis use in the ancient world, ancient India. Cannabis is one of the world's oldest cultivated plants, with the evidence suggesting that we humans may have been making use of the crop for 10,000 years. This relationship has endured practically unencumbered to the present day, in spite of the widespread prohibition of the plant in modern societies. Following decades of efforts to stomp out the use of the plant, many countries are now beginning to re-liberalize cannabis with access to both medicinal and recreational cannabis is becoming a hot topic. To honor the many uses of the plant, we are taking a look at how some ancient societies used hemp and cannabis to treat their ailments and for spiritual purposes. In this article, we will be exploring evidence of how ancient Indians made use of the plant. Hemp, a variety of low THC cannabis, has a long history of industrial use thanks to its hardy stem and fiber. The plant has been used for making clothes, weapons, and ship sails, among many other things, but the plant has also a long connection to the ancient religion and medicine. Hinduism has been the primary religion in the region of India. Referring historically to the lands around the Indus River and valley, the Sanskrit word for cannabis, bhang or bhanga, is believed to have been the source of the Arabic word bang and Persian bang. Cannabis has long and rich history in this part of the world and can still be found growing wild in many areas today, particularly in regions at the foothills of the Himalayas. Our knowledge of the use of cannabis in ancient Indian societies comes largely from ancient Hindu scriptures known as the Vedas. These sacred texts were recorded in the written word between 1500 and 500 BCE, before Christ's era. Before this, it is believed that the teachings of the Vedas were passed from master to student for generations and memorized to keep the original message intact. In the Vedas, cannabis is listed as one of the five sacred crops alongside barley and soma, an unidentified plant of which the juice was ritual drink. It is believed that the plant has been used as a part of Ayurveda, a traditional medicine since the Vedic period. It is largely associated with the god Shiva. Various Hindu legends tell of the god Shiva and his consumption of cannabis, referred to as bhang. For example, the story of the Hindu gods churning up the cosmic ocean to access the elixir of immortality. Some versions of this legend state that cannabis began to grow where drops of this elixir fell. Another version states that when the god of destruction, Shiva, was called upon to drink the poison that was produced from the churned ocean, his throat turned blue and he was in immense pain until he was given bhang by his wife, Parvati. While there are a number of stories in Hinduism, usually surrounding Shiva, the reference cannabis use, however, These tales didn't particularly promote the use of cannabis as an intoxicant or medicine, but believe that these tales warn of the toxicity of the plant when consumed in the wrong way, and so traditional preparations focus on purifying the toxic properties of cannabis. Despite the references to the toxicity of cannabis, the link between the plant and the divine in ancient Hindu culture has resulted in the use of cannabis by holy people in their attempts to become closer to their chosen god, Shiva. Furthermore, while cannabis is technically prohibited in India, this law does not include the leaves of the plant. Therefore, it is not uncommon to witness the consumption of bhang, particularly on the festival night of Shivaratri. Cannabis has been used as part of Hindu spiritual practices and traditional medicine for perhaps thousands of years. However, the earliest mention of bhang, a Sanskrit word for cannabis, as a medicine has been traced back to the works of Sushruta, believed to have been written between 500 and 600 AD. Sushruta refers to cannabis as anti-phlegmatic and recommended as a remedy for catarrh accompanied by diarrhea, as well as a cure for biliary fever. Ayurveda, cannabis has mainly been used to treat conditions of the digestive and respiratory tracts. However, there is also evidence in later literary sources that cannabis has been used to treat other ailments, including epilepsy and asthma. In addition to the medicinal and spiritual uses of the plant, ancient Indians would also have used the hemp plant for industrial purposes, similar to those seen in other regions at the time. For example, hemp fibers have been used in production of textiles, including clothing, for thousands of years. There is evidence that ancient Indian technicians have been at the first to practice hempcrete technology, a form of plaster that contains bhang mixed with clay or lime plaster, the natural insecticide, and pesticide properties of hemp fibers are thought to help preserve artwork in the Ellora Cave for almost 1,500 years. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to Smoke News Radio, episode 69. I think that's it. Thank you very much for listening. Jason Brodsky, your host. Big hug. I love you very much. And keep your smiles and keep on the cannabis wave. Here's Jack Johnson with his news.
Everything you hear, the diegetic world is so unclear, so baby, close your ears. Oh.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.